Hello, and welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope Harry, and today we're going to be talking about Meditation 24, the Holy Grail. Before we get into that, let's deal with our usual housekeeping notes. First and foremost, the Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast, starting with our paid supporter, Mr. Vincent Easley over at RLM, that is Real Liberty Media at reallibertymedia.com. You can go over there and listen to various people talk about various subjects regarding, obviously, liberty. One of the things slated that is coming potentially very soon, I don't have an exact date, is Broad Assumptions featuring other Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast, Donna Van Meter and Amy Lynn Russell. Moving right along, we have Star O'Hara, her and her Extremist Being Awesome Motivation and Accountability Group have been making great strides and moving forward a lot of liberty-based and private projects of anarchists out there, you know, us extremists. So if you want, you can go to her Substack. The link is in the description. You can go and check it on out. Nathan Fraser, master of the dark arts of marketing, is out there teaching people the magic behind motivating people to view your content and use your services and buy your products. He is definitely an interesting person to go and check out if you are interested in those types of things. Over here on Anchor, we have a fellow podcaster who is helping support the Blasphemous Pope podcast, and so I, of course, am going to return the favor. It is a bit of a wild ride, so just keep that in mind. This is not the same type of content you're going to find here. You'll find it under Wild Little Podcast. Now, she's on Twitter, the podcaster, and she has changed her name like four times in the past, 3 weeks, so I don't know exactly what she's calling herself now on Twitter, but her handle is Little Nugs Bunny, and that's where you can find her on Twitter. Now, speaking of which, we have our other supporters, such as Christy Caruana over on Instagram, We Trade Free, Kennedy Edwards, and London Gardens over on Twitter, Mr. Mike Witt over on Instagram as well. So, with that being said, that's our friends. I want to remind everybody that there are a lot of projects going on here at the cathedral, and you can take a look at those things if you check out my socials, whether it be TikTok under Harry Felker Base or on my website, harryfelker.wordpress.com, or my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, what have you, under my name, Harry Felker. So, just to be clear, that's how you can find me. Just look up Harry Felker and you'll pretty much find me somewhere. Usually with an avatar that has my cat's face on it, just saying. That being said, I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm very serious about trying to build this community here and have some form of conversation go on. Whether it be words of encouragement regarding my physical my challenge to bring myself back into physical fitness, or anything that you're working on that you want to have mentioned out there, you can always feel free to leave a message here on Anchor. It's a voice message that can easily be transferred right over to a podcast. If you are shy and you just want to type something out, again, my WordPress is harryfelker.wordpress.com, or you can look me up on any of those socials that I had mentioned, because they all have messaging apps that go with them. That being said, I believe we are ready for Meditation 24, the Holy Grail. Now, this meditation is about water storage first and foremost, but you can't really talk about water storage without talking about water conservation. And I do not want to come off as hippy-dippy or anything like that, but when we are considering a self-contained sustainable community, recycling and all of those things that come off as very hippy-dippy become very important, because conservation, as much as the quote-unquote left and progressives have decided that that's their thing, if you are into surviving and you are into getting out of the conveniences of society, resource conservation becomes a very primary and primal thing. When we come back after this short ad break, we are going to be talking about water containment and conservation. Personally, thank everybody for coming back after that short ad break. I do apologize that these are necessary, but monetization is where it's at when it comes to these podcasts, in order to afford these projects at which we're doing here at the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. Now, Meditation 24, the Holy Grail. The reason why I call this one the Holy Grail is because it is all about storing water. So the Holy Grail is a cup, therefore, you know, holding water, right? There we go. When the well is dry, we learn the worth of water. This is a quote from Ben Franklin, and it's applicable here because we have to understand something, that water is a resource that does have a limit to it. Not necessarily that we're going to run out of water at any point in time or any particular point in time, but the access to clean, usable water may become difficult at times, especially in certain areas where rainfall is not as plentiful and water reserves in the ground are just not there. And we have to realize that there is a great deal of care that has to be taken with this resource in order to make it not only usable in the most basic sense, but also clean and safe in the particular sense. So when we say water storage, what we're really talking about is how we are going to be keeping water for from rain catchment, basically, because that's generally the method of catchment that we are going to be talking about, the method of water acquisition that we're going to be talking about. It's in reference to that, because this is going to be the primary way that most people who listen to this are going to end up getting water. Not everybody has a spring. Not everybody has a freshwater river running through their property or close to their enough to their property to make their water solutions that easy. So we generally are going to be focusing on something that's going to be more applicable to more people, obviously. So again, why does this merit conversation? Well, there is a vast difference between your retail options and your DIY options when it comes to water storage. Now, not so much in functionality, but absolutely in the amount of space that they take, the appearance of them, and what you can do to make them more efficient or more applicable to your situation. The other point I want to talk about here as to why water storage is important is because there is a definitive cost to improper storage procedures. Not only are we going to be talking about water loss here, we are also talking about things like pests, contamination, and stagnation. So what I mean by water loss is not only just like leaks, but if you don't adequately plan your water storage, you're going to have overflow, and overflow is a water loss. Now, it's not a total water loss. It does go into the ground, and you know, we assume that, you know, that's a good thing because it returns to the cycle of water faster, and it will come again in the form of rain eventually. But in a desperate situation where your water, where your rain flow isn't up to the average or greater than the average for your area, well, that could be a potentially fatal mistake, or at least a very uncomfortable one. And that's something that we really need to put out there, that proper procedures, best practices are there for a reason, and they will serve you. They will help preserve your water resources, and they will help minimize loss. Now, when I say pests, I do mean invading pests that, you know, do things like lay eggs in water, such as mosquitoes. This doesn't necessarily completely ruin the water supply for you to use, but it does make life a lot less comfortable for anybody in the area if you have a standing water mosquito hatchery. You're probably not going to be a very popular person amongst your group of friends. And contamination and stagnation, these are things that can happen before the water even reaches storage. But the fact that if you can undergo proper storage procedures and keep those things maintained well, you should be able to avoid contamination and stagnation almost indefinitely. Of course, contained water, you should probably change it out every 6 months, but that should be something that is happening regardless. When we come back, we'll be talking about some retail and DIY options. Welcome back. All right, so water storage tanks. Now there is retail options and there's DIY options, and a lot of your DIY options are going to rely heavily on loose items from retail. I cannot stress this enough: the safe containment of water, a factory-derived polyethylene tank is going to always be your best option. Are there other options? Absolutely. Can you build your own? Certainly can. But the most cost-effective, easiest method forward is always going to be a large polyethylene tank from a retailer. Now, when I talk about retail options, I'm really not talking about buying the tank and putting it together yourself. I'm talking about a commercial company that will build the system and install it onto your home. Now, the prices vary wildly. I can't stress this enough. The installation price from the smallest systems going from about $1,000 to some of the larger systems, some of the larger home systems going for like $3,500. Your average price is about 2,500 for a 500 gallon system. Now this doesn't sound like much, but it is enough to generally take care of a house, and I'll explain why later when I start talking about tank size and what have you. But that is a decent system if you have a small family and you live in a place that gets plentiful rain. So just keep in mind, like, $2,500, and this is an average price. There's a lot of variety when it comes to different locations, and a lot of variety when it comes to different installation companies and what have you. These systems are usually very inclusive. They have all of your filtration systems. You have a guy who, when he puts it in, is probably going to explain all the ins and outs and how it will work so that you can keep it maintained, so, you know, it's useful to you. And in the case where you are kind of stretched for cash, you can absolutely implement like a rain barrel system, like in a chain. And rain barrels generally cost somewhere around like $150 per barrel. So there are options out there for budget, but in general, if you are looking to have it installed, you're going to be spending about $2,500 on average, of course. So the DIY systems, like I said, polyethylene is king here. It is a very non-reactive plastic. And it is widely used for the water storage properties. My entire hydroponic kit is polyethylene plastic, so it's food safe, it's FDA safe, all of that good stuff. Now, when it comes to cost, they vary significantly. You generally are going to be looking at about $1 per gallon. Until you get to around the 5,000 gallon range, then it dips down and then it shoots way up when you go up higher than that. But I'm going to tell you right now, though, a 5,000 gallon water reserve is a great buy, considering it's about like 80 cents per gallon. However, you are still talking about $4,000, so we're not talking about a cheap option, but this is an option that's going to last for 30 years minimum, and it is going to be containing your very life-saving water. So maybe putting the extra resources, financial resources, towards that is worth it. The real perk when it comes to a DIY system, a system where you build it yourself, is that it can be completely customized to your personal situation. Now, granted, there are some contractors that will do some customization work if you really require it, but nobody knows your house better than you do, and if you are going to be the person maintaining it and fixing it and what have you, having it customized to ease that process for you may be maybe in your best interest. So that's really like the options when it comes to DIY versus retail. You are going to be relying heavily on retail, and to be fair, yes, you can pour your own concrete cisterns and you can do all of that stuff, but that stuff does come with a cost, and when you're doing it one shot, it is far more expensive than it would be buying a retail option. Plus, if you're not very well versed in those types of things, such as masonry, there's a lot of room for disaster there. So I highly suggest using polyethylene first and foremost, because it does recycle some plastics through the system, and that can't be a bad thing, can it? And there's that. Now we're going to be talking about tank size next, and this is a pretty much a really lengthy conversation, so I hope you come back for it. Thank you. Welcome back. All right, so now we're going to be talking about tank size, and this is a very math heavy portion of this. We have some constants and we have some variables, and I know not everybody is a math specialist, so I'm going to try to make this as easy as possible for you. The constant that you have to understand here is 0.62 gallons per square foot per inch of rain. That is on average what you will be collecting off of every square foot of catchment for every inch of rain that falls. The other constant, and this is something that varies wildly between area, is the amount of rainfall. You will generally see a consistent amount of rainfall happen in a particular area, but across the United States, the average is 35 inches per year. Meanwhile, in places like Florida and Appalachia, it is closer to 50 to 60 inches per year, and places such as Arizona and New Mexico have far, far less than average on a regular basis. So, what size system are you going to need? What size tank are you going to need? The average roof size in the United States is about 1,700 square feet, and that's going to produce about 1,000 gallons for every inch of rain. Now, if you have on normal occasions more than an inch of rain falling each time it rains, obviously you are going to want a system that is going to be able to contain all of that, because on average 35 inches means that if you don't get enough rain on certain months, the rainier months are going to be the ones that carry you over those dry spells. That is something that happens pretty much everywhere in every climate. There are points in time where you get next to no rain or no rain, and there are points in times where you get tons of rain. So what you really want to do is make sure that your catchment system and your storage system are aligned in this manner. You know, that if you're getting 2-3 inches of rain, you're not going to have a bunch of overflow spilling onto the ground. That's not necessarily 100% of a loss, especially if you are growing food on your property, because it will then go directly into the property and that will help nourish your plants. But if we are considering the fact that 35 inches of rain on a 1,700 square foot catchment system is only going to be producing 35,000 gallons of water, and on average annually Americans use about 50,000 gallons of water, you understand that maintaining and keeping every inch of rain that you can is very important. So in summation about tank size, first and foremost, we do not want, it is not even desirable to be able to catch every inch of rain and hold it for a year. That's not what I'm saying, and that should not be the takeaway. For the most part, if you have a reserve of anywhere from 500 to 2,000 gallons, you have more than enough water to get you through to the next bout of rain, unless you live in a place such as like Arizona or New Mexico, where the water resources are a little more tenuous than places where water is more plentiful. So your average price per gallon for your water storage system is going to be somewhere around a dollar, and that's something you have to really consider, because this is a financial resource that you're going to have to, you know, ante up. Your 5,000 gallon tanks, as I had said earlier, you do get sort of a price break there, but in general, figure for a dollar per gallon is what you're going to be spending. You can spend less money if you are buying a bunch of 55 or if you have like reclaimed 55 gallon drums, but again, space is a consideration, you know, all of that type of stuff. Below ground cisterns are more expensive, and that's something that needs to be addressed here. If you are in a particularly rainy area and you want to store your water underground, a below ground cistern is going to cost you more money because those are much more durable containment systems. The above ground system, it's not as durable, like it's not durable to roots and whatnot, but it doesn't really have to be because it's above ground. On a side note, also make sure that your water containment, water storage facility is not translucent or transparent. Algae is a pest. With that being said, we're going to be talking about water usage, recycling, and conservation next. Welcome back. All right, so now we're going to be talking about tank size, and this is a very math heavy portion of this. We have some constants and we have some variables, and I know not everybody is a math specialist, so I'm going to try to make this as easy as possible for you. The constant that you have to understand here is 0.62 gallons per square foot per inch of rain. That is on average what you will be collecting off of every square foot of catchment for every inch of rain that falls. The other constant, and this is something that varies wildly between area, is the amount of rainfall. You will generally see a consistent amount of rainfall happen in a particular area, but across the United States the average is 35 inches per year. Meanwhile, in places like Florida and Appalachia, it is closer to 50 to 60 inches per year, and places such as Arizona and New Mexico have far, far less than average on a regular basis. So, what size system are you going to need? What size tank are you going to need? The average roof size in the United States is about 1,700 square feet, and that's going to produce about 1,000 gallons for every inch of rain. Now, if you have on normal occasions more than an inch of rain falling each time it rains, obviously you are going to want a system that is going to be able to contain all of that, because on average, 35 inches means that if you don't get enough rain on certain months, the rainier months are going to be the ones that carry you over those dry spells. That is something that happens pretty much everywhere in every climate. There are points in time where you get next to no rain or no rain, and there are points in time where you get tons of rain. So what you really want to do is make sure that your catchment system and your storage system are aligned in this manner. You know, that if you're getting 2-3 inches of rain, you're not going to have a bunch of overflow spilling onto the ground. That's not necessarily 100% of a loss, especially if you are growing food on your property, because it will then go directly into the property and that will help nourish your plants. But if we are considering the fact that 35 inches of rain on a 1,700 square foot catchment system is only going to be producing 35,000 gallons of water, and on average, annually, Americans use about 50,000 gallons of water, you understand that maintaining and keeping every inch of rain that you can is very important. So, in summation about tank size, first and foremost, we do not want, it is not even desirable to be able to catch every inch of rain and hold it for a year. That's not what I'm saying, and that should not be the takeaway. For the most part, if you have a reserve of anywhere from 500 to 2,000 gallons, you have more than enough water to get you through to the next bout of rain, unless you live in a place such as like Arizona or New Mexico, where the water resources are a little more tenuous than places where water is more plentiful. So your average price per gallon for your water storage system is going to be somewhere around a dollar, and that's something you have to really consider, because this is a financial resource that you're going to have to, you know, ante up. Your 5,000 gallon tanks, as I had said earlier, you do get sort of a price break there, but in general, figure for a dollar per gallon is what you're going to be spending. You can spend less money if you are buying a bunch of 55, or if you have like reclaimed 55 gallon drums, but again, space is a consideration, you know, all of that type of stuff. Below ground cisterns are more expensive, and that's something that needs to be addressed here. If you are in a particularly rainy area and you want to store your water underground, a below ground cistern is going to cost you more money, because those are much more durable containment systems. The above ground system, it's not as durable, like it's not durable to roots and whatnot, but it doesn't really have to be because it's above ground. On a side note, also make sure that your water containment, water storage facility is not translucent or transparent. Algae is a pest. With that being said, we're going to be talking about water usage, recycling, and conservation next. Welcome back. All right, so I'm really sorry that this one has gone to six segments, but this is kind of a big subject, so I kind of want to take my time with it, make sure that I get everything in. Now, no talk about storage would be complete without talking about water usage, recycling, conservation, and that's what we're going to be talking about right now. Now, using average, as far as water usage is concerned, there is a vast discrepancy with this. The EPA has one number, and then there's a private group that has a completely different number as far as the average daily usage of water in a U.S. household. The EPA number is from 1999, so you know they released that report in 2000, and they say it's somewhere around 300 gallons per day. Now, this Water Research Foundation, has it at about 138 gallons per day in 2016, and one could say that there have been a lot of improvements as far as our appliances are concerned, and that is absolutely true. But all of these things are based off of census reports and then private surveys done. Even the Water Research Foundation put meters on everybody's homes. That was part of the survey to get real numbers. Now, when we consider the fact that we get about 36,000 gallons per year on average in the U.S., and we use about, on average, 50,000 gallons per year, there is a, 14,000 gallon shortfall in the amount of water that we have, that as opposed to what we can collect. And this is where recycling and conservation come into play. It's very important to understand that these surveys were done without the use of a gray water system. So right off of the bat, there is approximately 55 gallons of gray water produced per day in any household, considering the averages, so with that, we have to understand that somewhere in the neighborhood of 16,000 gallons of, or 18,000 gallons of water could be reused, whether it be just used in the flush toilet, or used in some other fashion. So water recycling is absolutely going to be one of those answers that you definitely need in very drought prone areas and areas where you get less rainfall. It is mandatory that you do these types of things if you're really planning on surviving off grid with your water resources. But even in places where it's not specifically necessary because you get ample rainfall, it's just best practices. Now, of course, if you do live in an older house or you are buying an older house, you are going to want to change out your toilets. Toilets literally use more water than anything else, oddly enough. Going to low flow or composting toilets will save you on average about 33 gallons per day. Now, if you don't have the wherewithal or you don't have the desire to change out your toilets to composting toilets or low flow toilets, just recycling your gray water, taking your shower water, having a storage tank for a gray water storage tank for it, and routing that to the toilet will cut down the amount of water your toilet is using as far as fresh water is concerned out of your reserves. Couple that with the sink water from all of your sinks, and you have more water going into your gray water tank than is just used by your toilets. And that reserve water works out to about 20 gallons per day. That can be completely cleaned, filtered, and whatnot, and then used for agriculture. So there is options out there. Now, another thing that was mentioned not in the EPA report, but was mentioned in Water Research Foundation's report, is leaks. Leaks attribute to about 18 gallons per day on average per household. That's your toilet running with no reason, leaky sink faucets, what have you. And then there's, the actual leaks that happen. And this is just a note that you should keep everything in as good repair as humanly possible, because everything that fails costs you. I want to thank everybody for coming here and listening to this. I am really sorry about it taking, over 30 minutes, almost 40 minutes to do this one, but I felt that this is something that really required that amount of time. I hope you come back next week, and everybody stay safe out there, and we'll see you soon.